Hello, this is Kathleen, and today I'll be reading to you from Talking Information Center's Ability Program. Habitat for Humanity, An Affordable Path to Home Ownership by Tim Gilmer. Owning your own home is a cherished dream in the United States, but in the last decade, rising real estate prices have priced far too many potential homeowners out of the market and driven the cost of rentals sky high as well. But since 1976, one nonprofit, Habitat for Humanity, has stood consistently strong for safe, affordable homes built for people in need. Today, Habitat, an ecumenical Christian nonprofit that is open to all, is the nation's largest home builder. It may also be the best option for wheelchair users to own an affordable, accessible home. The secret to Habitat's success is simple. Approved home buyers make a down payment with sweat equity, 300 to 500 hours of work, with help from family and friends instead of cash. The work can be done on their own home, someone else's, or by assisting Habitat for Humanity in another way. Homeowners also reap the benefits of donations and construction help from volunteers, as well as financing by Habitat with 0% interest. All of this adds up to unbeatable prices. The lowest possible monthly payments and feeling of long-lasting gratefulness and connectiveness with family, friends, and community. Early awareness of the need for accessible homes came about largely as a result of Atlanta, Georgia advocate Eleanor Smith's groundbreaking initiative, Concrete Change, which advocated for each new home built by Habitat for Humanity to incorporate its visibility guidelines. These guidelines call for basic wheelchair access, a no-step entrance, wide doorways, and a clear path to the bathroom. A major breakthrough came when Smith's group secured pledges from Habitat Atlanta affiliate in 1989 and the city of Atlanta in 1992 to build a neighborhood of 47 basic homes, in keeping with Concrete Change's visibility guidelines. By 2008, it was estimated more than 800 Habitat for Humanity homes had been built to be visitable in Atlanta. Not long after those first pledges, in 1994, physical therapist Sandy Rogers and occupational therapist Ruth Fearman, both employed by Atlanta's Shepherd Center, teamed up with Habitat for Humanity's main office in nearby Americus to build Habitat's first accessible home designed for a specific wheelchair user. From a list of potential applicants, the Habitat office chose Melvin Hardrick, a 35-year-old T56 para who had been injured in 1991. His need was obvious. Following rehab, Hardrick was discharged to his existing home, where he, his wife, and four children lived in a high-crime neighborhood in a cramped apartment with an inaccessible bathroom, a nearly impossible situation for Hardrick, a manual wheelchair user. Rogers and Fearman took Habitat's basic accessible floor plan, which included wide doorways and more space in the bathroom, and modified it specifically for Hardrick by adding a sloped, graded, no-step entrance, a wraparound porch, expanded interior space with a large open floor plan, wider hallways, accordion-style doors in the bedroom, a roll-under sink in the bathroom, with more space, height-appropriate switches and outlets, and more. To make it all happen, Shepherd staff took on the fundraising responsibility and contributed $25,000 for the build, which in the mid-1990s, combined with other donated materials and volunteer labor, funded nearly the entire project. In 2002, Minnesota's Twin Cities Habitat affiliate teamed with Courage Kenny Rehab Institute to take the concept of accessibility a step further. They built an accessible home complete with an assistive tech devices throughout for Lisa Barron and Scott Dean, both of whom had cerebral palsy. Proof that the national nonprofit's awareness and willingness to work with individual homeowners with disabilities was evolving. The Twin Cities affiliate is one of the largest in the nation, building upwards of 50 homes per year since 1985. Each year, we build one or two accessible homes, said Caitlin Dormer, communications director for the affiliate. In these cases, homeowners are matched to a property before construction begins, so we can tailor the home design to their needs. Our architect meets with the home buyers and occupational therapist to identify design elements to be added to the house to adequately provide independence, safety, and health needs. While pioneering Habitat homes benefited from being located in urban areas with well-known rehabilitation and independent living programs, the widespread growth of the nonprofit has brought the concept of a hand up, not a hand out, to small towns in rural areas as well. Habitat's model works because it depends on the generosity of everyday people wherever they reside. Whole communities driven by local churches usually start the ball rolling, but volunteers and home buyers come from every ethnicity and belief system. Goodwill is infectious. Usually prospective homeowners apply for a single home to be built. But in late 2013, Jason Cantenwine, a 44-year-old Maine vet and C5 quad, and Shelley Jaspering, 41, a C7 quad, joined forces and applied to have a duplex built in Ames, Iowa, one unit for each of them. At the time, Cantenwine, who had been discharged from the service in 1996, and injured in 1997, lived in an apartment. My mom and stepdad had retrofitted the 1970s apartment for me, but it was small, he said. I pretty much maintained that for 20 years with help from a whole lot of revolving door live-in attendants. But lack of space and privacy was becoming a big issue. Jaspering, injured in 2005, had gone home after rehab to live with her parents. She wanted to be on her own, but ended up living with them for 2 years because they couldn't find a suitable apartment. So her parents purchased an older home and rented it to her. I had a helper and a roommate and lived there for 7 years, but I couldn't afford the repairs and the maintenance on the old house. It was too expensive, said Jaspering. My parents were losing money and I couldn't pay the mortgage. Both Cantenwine and Jaspering looked into Section 8 housing, but there was a 2-year waiting list and the rent was still too high. So together they went to local Habitat for Humanity affiliate, not knowing what to expect. They ran our numbers, including valuing a lot of work from our families and a lot of contributions, said Cantenwine. My family knew Jaspering's, and we knew of each other, and everything kind of fell into place. The executive director, Sandy Rizdal, seemed very excited about the idea of our going in together to build a duplex. We were the first ones in our area to do it. Rizdal willingly modified the usual sweat equity requirements because neither Cantenwine nor Jaspering could do construction work. But our families did work on the build, which counted toward our sweat equity requirements, said Cantenwine. The time from application to the actual build was about a year or so, and they moved into their duplex in late 2014. Habitat homeowners are not given a home. They must buy it. To make certain that homeowners are able to make payments consistently, Habitat requires that each applicant be able to make a mortgage payment that are no more than 30% of their monthly income. Both Canton Wine and Jasperine had steady part-time jobs. Canton Wine is a dispatcher who works 25 hours a week for a paratransit company, while Jasperine works for Wheatsfield Cooperative, a community-owned grocery store, doing computer work with pricing and sales. In addition, both families had the kind of combined work experience that is especially valuable in a Habitat model. My dad's an electrician, and we knew a lot of people in construction, so they were able to donate labor and others made in-kind contributions, says Jasperine. Canton Wine's family and other volunteers also made significant labor and in-kind contributions. The total cost of construction of Canton Wine's duplex unit was about $155,000. Counting the value of labor and contributions such as appliances, roofing, concrete, and whatever went into the house, including furniture. But Canton Wine's mortgage loan purchased from Habitat was only $110,000, with a second forgivable mortgage over and above that amount. Forgivable means that each year a portion of the second mortgage is forgiven. In Canton Wine's case, this comes to about $45,000. As long as payments on the first mortgage are made, the second mortgage will incrementally disappear, and the homeowner will have paid $0 out of pocket on the second when the term expires. For Canton Wine, this resulted in monthly mortgage payment of slightly more than $600, including taxes and insurance. After 4 years of payments, his principal balance had already dropped nearly $20,000 to a current owned total of $91,000, and the unit's value is now well over $155,000. Home equity builds super fast compared to conventional loans, mainly due to volunteer labor, in-kind contributions, and zero interest factor. Every dollar paid goes to ownership of the house, said Canton Wine. Jasperine's loan was similar. Her total cost was $160,000, slightly higher than Canton Wine's due to upgrades on flooring and a fully accessible kitchen. Her payments are $620 a month. By contrast, rent for a two-bedroom apartment in the Ames area is at least $700, and there is no comparison when it comes to size, quality, and lifestyle enhancement. Now I have my own space, said Jasperine. I feel like more of a normal 40-year-old. I can do my own laundry, do what I want, when I want. I have my life as an independent woman. Friends can come over, or I can meet people and go out. I like the location. I can roll to work if the weather is good. If I wanted to, I could take a bus. I'm near groceries, entertainment, a hospital, an ideal location. In all, hundreds of people pitched in to make the duplex happen in a way that was affordable, accessible, and appropriate to both Canton Wine's and Jasperine's needs. They each have a concrete parking space for a van. Canton Wine was able to have a basement built for his live-in attendant, and Jasperine got the kitchen she wanted. I cannot say enough about Habitat for Humanity program, says Canton Wine. Globally and locally, I am very thankful. For people to come together, whole communities, and do something so worthwhile, it's amazing stuff. Tess Kessinger, 48, another C5 quad, has been a Habitat owner since 2017. After being injured in 2006, she rehabbed at Fraser Rehab Institute in Louisville, Kentucky. She was one of the first subjects to do treadmill work as part of Susan Harkema's epidural stimulation research. "It really helped me. Muscle tone, weight, increased lung capacity," she said. "The group I was in went on to be like a second family. Most of my meaningful relationships have come out of my meeting people at Fraser. They finally hired me in 2013 because I refused to go away." At first, following her injury, she had to live with her parents on their farm in Palmyra, Indiana, located just north of Louisville, in a modified living room with a bathroom. "I was managing okay, but I didn't want to live with my parents or in a nursing home. I always had the will to be independent, but not the way." Then in 2015, someone told her mother that Habitat was open to building homes for disabled people. She applied to the nearest Habitat chapter in New Albany, Indiana, and was accepted. "For my sweat equity, I contacted restaurants and helped set up food for catered fundraising events and food, snacks, and soft drinks for the builders," said Kessinger. The University of Louisville and Fraser staff put groups together to help volunteers on my build. "I had 8 or 10 build dates with different volunteer groups. My dad did over 300 hours of sweat equity. He's a licensed electrician, but he and three others were at the core group swinging hammers and doing whatever had to be done. The State Vocational Rehabilitation Department also helped with certain necessities. I love my shower, my favorite room, all tile," she says. "Voc Rehab suggested a certain fan. It sucks all the moisture out of the bathroom. And then there's a feature straight out of her farm background, sliding barn doors. I have barn doors on all the rooms, track doors. They're super light. Even the dog knows how to use them. She will use her nose to open the door and come into the bathroom. The open floor plan is inviting, especially for a power chair user. When you come in the front door, you can see the door on the other side of the house. No walls to get in the way of having multiple visitors over. To accommodate my van lift, they gave me an oversized lot with a carport. Kessinger's mortgage payments for all of this are just $497 a month. They are so low because they're spread out over a 40-year mortgage at 0% interest. I would never have been able to rent even a small apartment for $500. All in all, Kessinger is approaching her dream of complete independence. Now all she needs is for the state of Indiana to provide adequate attendant care. I thought it would be easier. There are 47 state-licensed home care agencies, but only 7 with skilled nursing, and only 1 could take me. And they require me to have a full-time care, which I don't need and they can't fill," she says. "It would cost the state less if I had part-time attendance. But when I talk to the Medicaid people, they just say, 'We feel for you.' For now, to get by, her mom stays with her 2 nights per week, and on weekends, she goes home to the family farm. But the upside prevails. I feel like I'm more a part of the community now," she says. "People come to help from down the street. You don't always get that out on a farm." When it comes to the number of homes built, Habitat's Lake Country, South Dakota affiliate ranks in the top 10% of the 500-plus affiliates serving populations of 50,000 or less. "We were founded in 1995, built our first home the next year, and now we've completed 66 homes, with 5 under construction and 2 already approved for next year," said Executive Director Dan McCauley. "One of those homes is being built in Madison, a town of only 7,000. When it is complete, it will be the 10th Habitat home in a small rural town. It's for a mom and her grown daughter, Brianna, who has cerebral palsy, and her brother, said McCauley. Since Brianna Fries has some cognitive issues and uses a power chair, the design is built around her needs. Besides the usual basic accessibility features, Fries will have a huge roll-in closet, private access to a fully accessible bathroom with a roll-in shower, electric cooktop, side-opening oven, and a pull-out shelving unit in the kitchen, roll-under sinks, and one more custom feature made for just for her. We built a large front screened-in porch so she can enjoy the green space outside without being in the bugs and such, says McCauley. We wouldn't have done that for anyone else. Even the lot was specially selected for Fries since it was located next to the green space. The cost hasn't been yet set since construction is still underway, but you can bet it will be super deal. Typical mortgage payments are around $400 monthly, plus taxes and insurance, said McCauley. Compare that to the average cost of a rental here of $941 a month. Tiny homes for wheelers? Tiny homes are all the rage for minimalist millennials, so why not offer a 576-square-foot Habitat home to wheelchair users? Of course, tight space for wheelers definitely has its limits. But with an open floor plan and creative thinking, the improbable just might become possible. Take a look at the artist's rendering of the Redbud House, a small home model designed by Harvey Harmon and built by the Chatham, North Carolina affiliate. With a little imagination and a ramp or graded no-step entrance, you might be the proud owner of your own home for as little as $75,000, with no down payment other than sweat equity and monthly payments of as little as $250, not including taxes and insurance, on a 25-year mortgage. Nuts and Berries Add Key Nutrients to Health by Sari Harar. Versatile and delicious, nuts and berries have earned their place in research-proven brain-healthy diets, from savory walnuts to ripe strawberries blended into a smoothie. Nuts and berries contain nutrients important for brain health, including minerals, vitamins, fiber, good fats, and other plant compounds. But they aren't magic bullets, said Madhurita Achari, MD FAANFTNS, a neurologist in private practice in Houston, Texas. They work as part of a fresh, seasonal, healthy diet. Research supports that this approach, in a study published in JAMA in July 2025, working memory and mental processing speed improved for the 2011 older adults who followed the Produce-Packed Mind Mediterranean-Dash Intervention for Neurodegenerative Delay Diet. It emphasized eating berries and nuts along with leafy greens, fish, good fats, and whole grains, with limited amounts of butter, fried food, red meat, and sweets. For the study called U.S. Pointer, participants also exercised regularly, socialized, played brain-stimulating games, and managed their blood pressure, blood sugar, and cholesterol levels. Pointer provides a roadmap to address the foundational causes of neurodegenerative disease, so many of which are rooted in lifestyle issues like diet and exercise, says Laurel Sherian, MD, associate professor of neurology at Rush University in Chicago, who is studying the mind diet's potential benefits for stroke survivors. Meanwhile, in a study published in Neurology in 2023, Dr. Sherian and other researchers found that the mind diet was associated with having less Alzheimer's disease-related brain plaque. The researchers found similar benefits for the Mediterranean diet, which emphasizes eating produce, good fats, and whole grains, with a wider variety of fruits and less frequent nuts than the MIND diet. People who followed diets like these developed Parkinson's disease 8 to 17 years later than those who didn't, according to a 2021 Canadian study published in the journal Movement Disorders. Other studies have found lower risk for cognitive decline, too. Some research suggests a special role for sweet berries and crunchy nuts. In a 2022 report in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, people with the highest intake of pelargonidin, an anti-inflammatory compound found in berries or strawberries, had the smallest amounts of tau protein tangles in the brain associated with Alzheimer's disease. The high intake group ate a little more than one serving a week. The blueprint, brilliant blue, purple, red, and orange skins of berries are signs that these fruits contain plant compounds called anthocyanins, which may support brain health by reducing inflammation and disarming cell damage-free radicals, Dr. Achari says. There is also evidence that compounds in berries may have more direct effects on the brain by supporting neurosignaling, Dr. Cherian says. Both also provide fiber, which nourishes beneficial bacteria in your gut, Dr. Achari adds. Emerging research suggests that these good bugs may play a role in brain health by producing compounds that influence mood and cognition. Nuts, meanwhile, deliver healthy mono and polyunsaturated fats, polyphenols, and phytosterols that also might discourage inflammation and guard brain cells from harm, Dr. Cherian notes. Research about nuts is mixed, however. A Spanish study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition in the 2022 tracked 6,603 older adults for 2 years, finding that those who ate three or more small servings of mixed nuts weekly had less age-related cognitive decline than those who ate less than one weekly serving. But a recent review of 5 well-designed studies published in Frontiers in Nutrition in 2024 found no special cognitive benefits for nuts. We really can't isolate just one or two ingredients and say they're sufficient or even especially important for brain health, said Demetrius M. Maraganore, MD, FAAN, co-director of the Tulane Center for Clinical Neurosciences and professor and chair of the Department of Neurology at Tulane University. It takes an overall healthy diet. Nuts and berries have unique qualities, but so do other good fats and fruits. You can't eat some nuts or berries and have cheeseburgers and fries the rest of the time and expect brain benefits. And you can promote brain health with a healthy diet that doesn't include them. Dr. Achari points out that a variety is also in key. A healthy gut microbiome is a diverse diet, she says. You need a variety in your diet. You won't get that by having one kind of nut or one kind of berry a day. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you all have a safe and well day.